I think we're coming into a season that it is important that we prepare our hearts for, because the reality is, if you've been in church long enough, if you've gone through Christmas long enough, sometimes it becomes mundane versus a celebration. And I'm reminded, when I come into this season, I'm reminded of all the biblical characters in the Old Testament that always pointed to great anticipation of the moment of Jesus coming. Sometimes if you have heard the story, if you've heard the gospel, if you've been in church long enough, it can get to a place that this season, maybe I should take these off now. Hard to take me serious with donkey ears on. But we can come into this season and just forget what this is about. We can get so stressed about gift giving. We can get so stressed out based on family and arrangements and all these things we got to do. And we just wake up, it's Christmas, and we're like, we didn't even acknowledge the reason this season is here. And it is the birth of Jesus, which for all of us, we know that that is the most fundamental, important thing and story that we could ever, ever, ever have and know. And so with that said, I want to present a little bit of scripture. Let's look at Luke 2, verses 1 through 14. If you have it, read it with me. There's Bibles in front of you. Oh yeah, it's not going to be behind me. We did put those slides in, they just, it broke. So you're going to have to actually open up a Bible. Look at this. Luke chapter 2. Luke has some of the most familiar, important words regarding the Christmas season. It is the go-to book that so much of Christmas is typically talked about. So Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, from the very get-go, we won't read the whole text. I encourage you maybe to read the entire chapter of the book of Luke. But it says this: in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each of his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth in Judea, in the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothings and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Obviously, that's a theme verse for me today. Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Verse 12, "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothing and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." I want to begin with this. This was a real day. Jesus is a real Savior. And he was the real Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah the whole Old Testament had been awaiting. It says, born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Proof of this? I was born, and I don't think my father or mother will remember a multitude of angels coming out and saying, "Glory, glory, glory, glory!" Right? Didn't happen for me. I don't know about you, but it didn't happen for the birth of my son. Proof that Jesus was a Savior is not only so many miraculous things that we see in the Christmas story, but a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. That's proof in the text. Now, if you were a shepherd, if you were a wise man, if you were someone who had come and witnessed this, if you were Joseph, if you were Mary, that scene alone tells you this isn't like anybody else. There's something utterly different about this birth. And it says it in this text, verses 10 and 11. Incredibly important words for this season, the message of the angels. Pay attention to the message of the angels. It says this: good news. This is the theme of my sermon. Great joy that will be for all the people. A Savior What does Savior mean? Dies to take away our guilt. Who is Christ the Lord? Again, we have to prepare our hearts. We're moving into a season that can become just so stressful, so busy, so all over the place. It's incredibly important that you prepare your heart now, leading into Christmas, and be reminded what the story is actually about. It's good news. You may come in here today with bad news. There's people in here struggling with cancer. There's people in here struggling with others, you know, that they love that are hurting. There's people that walk into this place depressed. There's people walk in this place feel beat down. But I want to say, it's important to say, this season is good news. Why? Because above all the hurt and the hardship this world throws at us every day that you exist, we have good news. That ultimately we know of a heaven, a place where there is no more pain, no more suffering. Just yesterday, I got called and I was doing a funeral. I found out Saturday about a lady that her name is Leah, and she was a Cuban immigrant. And she looked at her husband and said, "Here's the deal. I believe in America so much, I'm taking my kids, whether you go with me or not." Had a gun pointed at her belly and said, "Go ahead and shoot. I'm going to America. I want better for my kids." Now, when I think of that story, why am I sharing that? She came and she ended up coming here, and her family is now thriving. And they said, as I talked with the son, I talked with the daughter, that their whole success in life is because mom made that decision. I'm going to America to be free. And she did it. And she came, became a citizen, went through all the tests, very proud of our country. Now, I say that because I think of someone living in a place like that. What if you found out there's a better place and there's a chance to get there? And you can, all the corruption, all the wickedness, you can get out of here. You can go somewhere better. Well, folks, that's a little bit of life. I say this in many funerals. The closest as a Christian to hell is right now. The closest you will ever experience hell as a Christian is right now. Meaning there is an eternity. It's coming. No more pain, no more suffering, no more disease, no more depression, no more faith. Because you'll be right there. You'll see it. No more needing faith to get through it all. Amen? Now, folks, I say that because that's good news. I say yesterday I got to experience a family that said there was good news that I can get here. I could get to America and change my life and my family's trajectory in their life. And she experienced it. Strong woman. And I say that to you. There is good news today. This season is about good news. Despite the hardships, despite the sin, despite the far from God, despite all of that, there is good news. And there is a Savior. There is a Messiah. It was a real day. It really happened. There was a lot of anticipation throughout the Bible for this day. With that said, I want to move on a little bit. So what does all this mean? Good news means that there was bad news. God came to save us from the wrath of God. 1 Timothy 1:15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul says, "I am the foremost." Maybe some of us walk in this room and it's not depression, it's not hardship, it's, "I feel like I am foremost among all sinners." There's good news for you today. Yes, there's bad news, but there's also really good news. You don't have to earn your salvation. You just have to say, "God, I need your forgiveness. I need your grace," and embrace the gospel and say, "God, thank you that you died for my sin. I accept that grace." There's good news for sinners. There's good news for a person that feels that they're the foremost of sinners. A murderer. Paul was a murderer of Christians. And yet God wrote him into the history of eternity. Amen? That's good news. It's good news for you. It's good news for me. And that's a gospel worth taking to the ends of the world. For those who don't have this message, who look at life with no hope, all despair, it's good news. That's what this season's about. Great joy. Christmas is a time of great joy because remember that while we were still in active rebellion and in sin against God, God still chose to come to his creation that he created and lay down his life that we might be able to live. Amen? Is that good news? Is that great joy? This season, we know the good news. Well, we have great joy. See, what I've learned in life, that's a choice. That's a choice we make. And I don't know how to be happy and have joy without God helping us. Because you can focus on all the beating down of this world, the hardships of our lives, or we can remind ourselves constantly, constantly of the great joy and the good news. And there is a heaven, and it's coming. Amen? I'm not saying you should want to be there today, but you know, I say this at many funerals too. Paul said he wanted to be there. He said, for your sake, I'm still here, but I'm ready to go. And he had a glimpse of heaven. He endured all his suffering, saying, I know I'm supposed to still be here for you, but I'm ready to go. I'm going to say that at the very end of the sermon. I steal my sermon often in the beginning. Just as we await, and the authors of the Bible, generations before us, awaited for the Messiah to come, we now live in anticipation and in waiting to be with our Messiah again. He said there's a second coming, and if we pass away before the second coming, he says we'll be with him in paradise. Amen? And that's good news. That's great joy. Anyways, I'll keep moving on. Furthermore, one of the reasons this season is so special is that we are reminded of the, I just said this, generations of saints that have gone before us, that deeply and with great expectation awaited longing for the coming of the Messiah. Christ's coming was meant with such great joy. Romans 5:8 says this, but God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That will be for all the people. Acts 3 says this, if you want to turn, this is the last lengthy text I'm going to read, but Acts 3, if you want to turn there with me, you can, verse 17 through 26. The angel said, for all the people. Acts 3, 17 through 26. It says, and now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about God, which God spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him and whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and all those who came after him also proclaim these days. You are the son of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your family, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. A savior who is Christ the Lord. Folks, I say this often, I say it again, there's new faces every week. This is the covenant that God made all the way in Genesis with Abraham from the very get-go. The plan of the Bible from the very beginning was that God would once become a blessing for all people. You stand in here, most of you, this is not a false statement, Gentiles. We were far from God, we weren't part of the chosen Israel, and yet God had a plan to graft us in and be a part of the family of God. I don't know of any ancestry that has me as a Jew in any way, shape, or form, but I'm a son of God because God grafted me and he planned for there to be a blessing to all nations, and I'm one. Amen? Many of us in here, we're Gentiles. That's us. All people. This is the Christmas story. A great joy, a great blessing for all people. Amen? That's what this season's about, and I fit that category, and I think many of us in this room do too. Acts, or all of us do. Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Not might be saved, should be saved, could earn our way to salvation, must be saved. There is no other salvation found in any other name. John 4:42 says this. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. 1 John 4:14, John would say it in a different book. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. The Christmas story, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's what this season's about. My final words to you is this, and I kind of stole this sermon note earlier. Just as our forefathers waited with glorious splendor and expectation, so we are reminded that we too wait with glorious splendor, expectation, and patience to one day be with Christ in glory, for him to come again. Mark 14:62 says this, and Jesus said, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." So this season, we, like generations of believers before, they awaited for the birth of the baby. And now we celebrate that which has happened, and that needs to happen, right? This is a season. It's not just about Hallmark movies and going out and buying a bunch of gifts. It's about a real Savior that was born, that took away the biggest problems in our life. And we need to be able to be okay with that. Say it on social media. Say it to people. Don't be ashamed of the greatest message the world has ever heard. Amen? And that is the Christmas story. But we also, just as we expect the season and are grateful and gratified by what God has done for us, we also know and we need to have a longing for one day we will be with Christ. One day the suffering stops. One day Jesus will wipe our tears, eyes, and we'll see him face to face. Everything we put our hope in, everything we put our faith in, every bit of that one day we will experience. So we, in this form, in this day, we say, God, we're still waiting. We're longing to be with you. This world can throw so many hardships, but we know this season is a reminder God did come. It is great joy. It is good news. There was bad news, but it's good news. Because if you are a child of God, if you've put your faith in Christ, if you have confessed that Jesus is the Lord, and you believe in your heart that he is the Savior, this season is the best news ever. Because he did come, and he did die. He did live a sinless, perfect life. It's because I can't be that person. But I can believe in Jesus and his sinless perfection. And that's good enough for God. And all I have to do is simply say, God, I confess I'm a sinner. And I believe in you. And today, this day, this very day, a person right here and here that is lost and far from God walks in and thinks, I'm the worst sinner in the world. You can find redemption. You can walk out of here knowing I have a home and I'm going to heaven. And I'm going to be right with God because God has put in your heart a conviction to say, I'm a sinner and I need grace. Now, that's a humiliating thing because sometimes people can't say, you know, I won't accept grace. I won't accept forgiveness. I won't accept a gift. Or I'm too far gone. God can't love me. I've had that conversation many times too. God could never forgive me. Well, I stand amongst many Christians who God absolutely forgave and absolutely died for. Because while they were still sinners, he came. Act of rebellion to God, and yet he still came and wooed our hearts to say, Jesus is the reason. Amen? So this season, as we go in, I ask you to be reminded of chapter 2 of Luke. Maybe go read the whole story on your own. Yes, we hear this story every single Christmas, but it's a story worth saying every single Christmas. It's great news, great joy. Amen? Christ the Messiah, Jesus our Lord, came and made a way for us to be right with him. And that's worth living the rest of your life proclaiming that same message over and over and over and over and over. Amen? With that said, let me pray, and we'll go into a time of, we're still going to have a response song. If you would like to come talk with me, or if you just need prayer in any way, shape, or form, we are here to serve as best we can and serve you and pray with you. Let's go into a time of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. As we celebrate you, as we sing some Christmas songs, as so many gifted musicians gave us their talents, God, we're reminded that all of this is about you. All of this is about the good news in Jesus Christ. I pray for all in this room that are suffering or struggling or feel down on themselves, that they would recognize that there is a real Savior, a real Messiah. It was a real day that you came. And you made a way for us to be right with you, which above all other things, that is the most important thing. And I pray that we would come into this season with great expectation, with great enthusiasm and excitement. And in our hearts, we'd also, with enthusiasm and excitement, await your coming. And so God, in this season, I just pray that we sincerely, as each family, individual in this room as well, we would just read and make a great noise and a great joy for why we are celebrating Christmas. Thank you for the news, the good news that we know. And may we proclaim it with all those around us. We love you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you.